I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Comedian George Wallace is in town for some shows at Helium at the Galleria. He's going to visit with us at 4:30, and I happen to have a chance to kind of talk to him a little bit earlier because he's making the rounds in our building today, and he is very, very, very funny. He was Jerry Seinfeld's best man in his wedding, so we'll get to George here and talk about some fun stuff in the 4 o'clock hour. John Levine is back with us, political reporter for the Washington Free Beacon. Are you covering the speech tonight, John? Is that part of what your role is today?
No joke. I'm at the White House right this very second.
That's what I heard.
I'm in the press pool, which is, it's basically, I just sit here and wait for stuff to happen. And if something happens, I'm here. And sometimes there's events where they, you know when you'll turn on the TV and suddenly you're in the Oval Office and all the reporters are screaming at
you?
Yeah,
yeah.
Those people are in the pool.
Right.
And today's unfortunately kind of a slow day, which is to say nothing's happened of note. Although Caroline did give a press briefing. And that was very interesting.
So,
and she hasn't, this is her first one back.
Yeah, because she's been on maternity leave. So were you in the room for that?
Yes. I was squashed against the wall, but I was there. I was physically present.
Well, before I ask you about some stuff that happened in Chicago, let me ask you about what you may have gleaned from that, you know, that presser today. Do you have any anticipation of what the speech is going to focus on tonight? There's a lot of stuff on social media. We know it's election integrity, but do you have anything else that you've picked up?
Well, I would actually go back to Caitlin Collins' question, which is if there is really new material here and the president has evidence of election fraud that hasn't been previously known, I would. The logical question is, well, are there going to be charges brought by the Department of Justice? And that, to me, is where the rubber meets the road, because you can go on TV and say anything. But what are you backing up with actual indictments and charging documents? And that to me, is this a really serious thing or just more sort of blather? But I don't know. You're not going to goad me, trick me into being predictive about what is going to get said tonight, because I have no idea.
I know. Well,
nobody has any idea.
I'm keeping an open mind, like Carolyn was encouraging, you know, the folks in the room to do. I'm not in the camp that wants to relitigate the 2020 election. To your point, I heard that question that Caitlin asked. I mean, I think what Carolyn said was, I don't speak for the Department of Justice, right? She kind of cut it off at that.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of a dodge, which is fine. And she doesn't speak for the DOJ. But like, if the president comes out with really significant new accusations and that's not followed up by action from the DOJ, then, you know, I think that will speak for itself.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. All right, let's talk about this event that happened. And this goes back a couple weekends ago in Chicago. The Teachers Union hosted this big Israel-hating communist convention where, you know, there was all these calls for sabotaging the U.S., backing Iran, et cetera. Now, were you there, John? Because I know you guys, the Free Beacon, like, bought a ticket for this thing, right?
Belly of the beast. It was a hot $22.99 or something to that effect. A friend of mine sends me the flyer.
Okay.
I was like, look, there's going to be a psycho-communist convention in Chicago. And I'm sort of like, well, you know, whatever. And then I noticed, oh, this is being held in the headquarters of the Chicago Teachers Union. So then my brain is thinking, well, now anything that gets said there is going to be on the Chicago Teachers Union is going to be on the hook for it. So now I'm like, this is a lot more interesting.
Right.
So, because you can find commie conventions, you know, they're really not all that.
Dime a dozen these days, right.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But they are, it is unusual in a teachers union building. So we went, and I just registered under my own name. I didn't march in with a press badge, but I also didn't lie about who I was. I just said John Levine, or, you know, from D.C. And then I was, thankfully, they were very incurious about me. And I just kind of mingled in there for 2 days. And it was two jam-packed days of, we need to support Iran, we need to support Palestine, we need to support Cuba, we need to support the resistance. There were seminars about how to sabotage U.S. ports. There was a group in South Carolina that gave a presentation about how they sabotage the port of Charleston because they don't agree with an Israeli company that uses the port of Charleston. So that's what we're talking about here. And it was sort of best practices for, it's really almost domestic terrorism. And they openly said from the stage, the revolution is coming, the revolution's going to be violent, prepare for violence. You know, the best protests are not the legal ones. And it's happening in plain sight. And I was almost, I don't know why, I don't know, I mean, I just hope our government is aware of this. And I hope that my article has brought to light a lot of this material so for the people in law enforcement who can actually act on this. You know, I can only raise public awareness. I can't do anything beyond that.
And what's sad about it is this is the type of event that deserves a lot more public awareness than just a column that you wrote. Now, this is my favorite paragraph, though, so just bear with me for a second. I like this one. Conference goers were a motley crew of aspiring revolutionaries. About 20% wore masks. Not shocking. Many attendees were noticeably obese, and there was also a large contingent of openly transgender participants. Breakfast included gluten-free empanadas and a vegan fare, while a gender-neutral bathroom did brisk business. That sounds about right in that descriptor. That's kind of what I would expect, I think.
Exactly. It was if you look at the people at this conference, I don't know this for a fact, but there was they seem like wealthy rich kids. They seem like spoiled children of parents. Maybe they have they're working out family issues, or they're resentful, or they're embarrassed that they have all this money that they didn't really earn, and they're taking it out and essentially becoming communists. And I don't use that word lightly.
No.
Like one of the speakers said, we are Marxists. And as Marxists, this is what we believe. And, you know, look, the right has used the word communist kind of loosey-goosey. I mean, we all, you know, like Obama's a communist. Obama was not a communist. And, like, there are
his mentor, his mentors were, but, he might not have been. Certainly his mentors were.
The right was a little loosey-goosey with the word communist.
Yeah, no, I agree with that in theory.
Communists. And this is an openly communist convention. It's the word that they use. I'm not calling them. They use the word communism, Marxism. They had a moment to celebrate the 105th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party. And they're very. The constant theme was the struggle is coming. Get ready for the struggle. Get ready for the struggle. It feels very much like a sleeper cell fifth column. And it's happened.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Seeing in plain sight, it was shocking how little security there was. They have no fear at all to be sort of openly seditious against our country. And it's just willy-nilly blasé. And it's sad. You know, Reagan said communism is going to go in the dustbin of history. And it went in the dustbin of history, but it's been taken out of the dustbin. Because communism never fell in academia.
You know, it's only expanded.
They're getting it from college. Communism never fell in academia. It has continued. This is a seed of evil in our universities that has poisoned now generations of young minds since the fall of the Soviet Union.
Look, I think it's been back. Yeah,
and
it's
now,
been
not
growing.
Only is it back? You have their acolytes being elected to Congress.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real scary. So one of the things that you put in your piece, John Levine is here with us from the Washington Free Beacon, is there was a map of the meeting facility, and it guided people to different rooms. Please share with my audience the names of the different rooms. And by the way, the teachers union, they were trying to distance themselves from this, right?
Oh, the teachers union, it was teachers union signage all over the place. And very often, teachers union and Marxist signage was commingled together. So on a teachers' union flyer, it said, we're going to be providing child care in the Fidel Castro room. So child care is provided, you know, instead of room 102, it's now the Fidel Castro room. Okay, great. There's another room called the Resmia Odeh room. Resmia Odeh is a Palestinian terrorist. She blew up a supermarket in 1969, killed two people. She has a room named after her. There was a room named after Nicolas Maduro and his wife, because obviously we need to free them. We had that. That's also a major platform, and they're ready. If any action is taken by our government in Cuba, they're ready to snap into action there too and shut down things and protest and cause civil disorder. And it's happening in plain sight, right under our noses. And I just hope that there are people in our government and law enforcement who recognize that the communist threat is still with us. It never really died and never went away. It's kind of like the ring in Lord of the Rings. The ring survived, and it's back. And I just hope that we can generate a sustained effort. And part of that is just raising consciousness that this problem is real.
Well, and you know, I read what you said about the loosey-goosey, it resonates because, you know, you get to a point after you use that, and then when you start using it again when it really deserves to be used, you know, you probably, people think it's just hyperbolic, and it's anything but hyperbolic at this point. So I'm glad that you exposed it. I think it's just shameful that, you know, the rest of the media can't give attention to stuff like this as well. But John, you're always doing great work. Enjoy your pool work today. Maybe something will pop before the day is over.
Thank you. All right. I could use an actual pool. It's like 100 degrees right now.
Yo,
oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Survive the heat. We get it here in St. Louis. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com. Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.